Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the first ever episode of For the Love of the Games, a crossover podcast between Man on the Post and Ready Player 2. Any Ready Player 2 listeners who are listening, if you don't like sports games, switch off now, because this is not going to be for you. The voice you're hearing is me, I'm Ross. You may have heard me on both of those podcasts. Joining me tonight, we have Mr. Ryan Goodman.
Hello.
Mr. Tom Lana.
Hello.
And Mr. Greg Kitchen.
Good evening.
How are you all, chaps?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Nice to be joining you all on a chilly Wednesday evening.
It's fucking freezing, isn't it?
So my heating's backed up and I'm still cold, so it's great.
Your heating's packed up?
No, it's just I've got it whacked up.
Oh, right, okay. It's insane.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it had packed up, I wouldn't be on it, let's be honest.
Using the warmth of your PC to heat the house. How are you, Tom? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Good, 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 good stuff. Right, so what we're going to do is basically this is a spin-off pod talking about games, football games mainly, sports games in general. That's your general overview, but tonight's going to be football-focused, but a good football-focus, not like the BBC's version. We're going to cover such games.
It's only taking a minute.
That's a bit harsh on Dion Dublin. I like Dion.
Dion's all right, to be fair, yeah.
He's better on Holmes Under the Hammer, I reckon.
So. He's pretty good in that, actually. That other woman on there is rubbish, though.
Oh, yeah, she's naff. I mean, it's bad that we both know so much about Holmes Under the Hammer, but...
We've been sidetracked already. Let's get back on it. We're going to talk about games such as Championship Manager 2001, 2002, FM 19, FIFA 19, PES 19, and probably other stuff as well. Let's start with you, Greg. What are you up to in the gaming world currently?
Oh, what game's that, sorry?
What games are you playing most of all, FIFA or FM?
So it's a bit of both, actually. Depends. I try and play a little bit each day.
Yeah.
A little bit of FM each day. I suppose that's a bit easier, you know, lunch break at work here and there and stuff like that. But a bit of FM and FIFA as well.
All right, let's start with FM, because all you boys have played that one. I've not played this year's one. I want you all to convince me as to why I should spend the money to buy this year's one. What are you up to in game? What's your kind of your big save game so far?
I've got two on the go. I started one with Portsmouth, as I do every year.
Standard, yeah.
Three seasons into that, but where I started it in the beta,
right?
It's full of bugs which can't be eradicated in a save game.
Oh, that's
so. For example, I have it never saves season history. So when you go on to my player stats, see how they've played the last couple of seasons, there's nothing there.
Oh, right.
Which has made that game almost impossible to play.
How do you judge previous players?
Yeah, so I've ditched that after a couple of seasons, or three seasons, and I'm into my second season with Real Oviedo.
Ah, nice.
Oh, good, yes.
You're out of Oviedo, aren't you?
Good choice. Technically.
Yeah, I like that. How are you getting on with that one, then?
Sexy got promoted first season.
Nice.
They're quite a big club for the Segunda, so you got a little bit of financial backing. But my difficulty is I've always been able to take clubs up who should be going up, and then it's keeping them in the division above and adjusting that I've always struggled with.
Yeah.
I'm currently 13 games in and I'm 11th.
That's not too bad.
I'm doing okay. You know, I had 1 point after the first five games.
Wow.
And I was playing this nice, expansive football, but I had to revert to something a bit more pragmatic, and now we're quite stingy defensively. Lots of nil-nils.
Do what it takes first year.
Yeah.
Do whatever it takes. So what do you make to the new features in this edition of VAR? How does that kind of... Is that...
It happens quite a lot in La Liga.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, I keep getting quite a few penalties for like, pushes in the box and stuff like that. So I'm benefiting from it quite nicely. I think the goal line technology is a little bit overdone in it. Every time a keeper makes a save near the line, cuts the goal line technology. I was like, I know it didn't go in. Listen, a yard off his line.
They do that on Match of the Day as well, don't they?
Yeah. Samir is replicating real life punditry.
Just need Jonathan Pearce to be completely confused by it.
Yeah.
So, how do you boys find the VAR, Tom? Is that a good addition for you in this?
Well, I haven't really seen it much because I've only had a Portsmouth game.
All right.
From there.
Fleeting use in League One.
It doesn't seem to be used in League One.
Ryan, I'm assuming you've been playing it as Chelsea.
Yeah, well, I've done about three seasons as Chelsea, just to, you know, the beta saves. You know, you got to pick your club and go through it. But I'm currently doing a Leverkusen save.
All right, okay.
And in the second season, when we're Bayern Munich, have just, I don't know what's going on there. Just sat there manage this. I think we're in about January of, I'm trying to think, looking at the time right now, 2020.
Yeah.
And they're sixth. I'm first by about 15 points.
Jesus.
As Leverkusen. And I've only spent about 30 million in the summer because that's all I had. But VAR is used a lot. And it's a really weird one because all of a sudden, and I guess it's a bit like real life, because all of a sudden it's just like, you can tell the camera just starts like changing. It's like, oh, this is going to be a VAR decision.
Ah, right.
And then, you know, you watch the referee do his little run over to the little monitor. But it doesn't show you the clip again, which is really weird.
It just gives you a decision, does it?
Yeah, which I suppose
replicates an actual manager's experience of it, though.
Yeah, which I think is what it is. Because even in their like initial trailers, it made it look like you get to see it again. But you don't. So it's just all of a sudden, it's like, you know, he comes back out, he does the little VAR box sign, and then it's either a goal or a penalty or whatever it is.
It's a novelty thing more than anything else in the game, isn't it, really?
It is. It's just, and then, I mean, the offside stuff's really good. So, like, when a goal's been called for marginal offside or not, you can actually watch it and it does the lines properly for you, and you're like, okay,
curious about it.
I can actually see it now.
Right.
And even in a league, like, for example, it wasn't in the Premier League. So, you did the lines and it was like, okay, that was offside, but the goal still stood because VAR was not in the game. So, it's a useful feature. It's just not amazing yet. But the German league stuff is really good. Like,
have they got licenses now?
Yes, the first time they've been able to sell in Germany. Good. So, obviously, a lot of their advertisements are based on the German team. So, like Leverkusen, which I think they may have tampered a little bit. I don't know if that's true. But Leverkusen are actually
to make really... on our first podcast.
No, I don't know if it's...
Miles Jacobs, are you listening?
God damn it, Miles. I don't know, it just seems weird like that all of a sudden I'm absolutely like spanking it in the league as Leverkusen, and Leverkusen is the team that's in all of their adverts.
Oh, is this one on the old ones? Well, like the old Championship managers where Everton used to be unbeatable because it was made by Everton fans. Is that what you're trying to say?
It's more just, you know, I think it's just a... I don't think they've actually done anything. I mean, Leverkusen are actually a good team with good youngsters, so I think the potential for you to be able to hit the ground running is relatively good, but considering we're in the second season
and we're about to win it,
it's a little bit odd. That's more of an indictment on how bad everyone else is.
Fair enough. What other new features then have been added? Anything that's made the game a must-buy, Tom? Anything that I think most people just buy anyway because of the... almost Stockholm syndrome to play in the game, but anything
that's the thing, really, for me, new features are always good, but it's just the updated database every season that's mainly why I buy it. I mean, you can get like patches and stuff to recreate it, but it's not the same as actually having the transfers at the start of the season.
Yeah, no, that is fair. Yeah, apparently there's an they've overhauled the training thing, and I literally never touched training in the previous games.
It's okay.
Incredibly addictive. I set my assistant to set the training up, but then I go, because obviously it's done, I think maybe this is the teacher in me, where it's done in different sessions,
right?
and you had to plan what you were going to do in each session of each day. So if you set, I set my assistant up to set it up and then go and alter it. And yeah, I do it. Not a session goes by where I haven't tinkered with it in some way.
Oh, wow.
I spend a lot of time working on set pieces.
I think it actually makes more of a difference this year as well, whereas training didn't really seem to be that important in the last few games, few series of it. But where you can actually, say you're on a losing streak and conceding too many goals, if you do so many different defensive training sessions, or if say and the other way around, you're not scoring any goals, there's so many different attacking training sessions you can do.
I know if I concede a goal from a corner that my lads are going to be in doing extra work on defending set pieces on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, you can be so regimented with it. So it's three sessions per day, and often the assistant will only put two in, because in theory, if you do three every day, your top players are going to get tired.
Yeah.
But if you're coming into a team that's got really poor fitness levels or something, or you want a really good pre-season to get them used to your tactics, you could just bang out tactics sessions every day, three times a day.
You can be also
for like a couple of weeks. Yeah, you can work them damn hard.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that you can actually do that, and as the other guys have said, on a week by week basis, be able to tweak it and say, actually, we want to work on set pieces this week. So we're going to do attacking set pieces, then defensive, and then rotate it back.
I found that it hasn't impacted on my players' condition or sharpness that much either, having a session for every session of the week.
So really? I mean, it depends what you pick, though, maybe, I guess. But
so it, I think I usually finish each day with some kind of set piece routine or a chance conversion or chance creation session, which doesn't take too much out of them. So I end up something like that, one of the smaller parts of the game that probably doesn't require too much running around, I add on to the end of every single day.
You've not got them running cross-country three sessions every day?
No.
All right, that's interesting, because I also used to just set my assistant to handle training at the very first meeting, and then that would be it, never even think about it again in previous games. So that is something I might be interested in going into. Do any other new features, or just does it feel slightly different to last year's game?
I think the overhaul of tactics is the other big one for me.
Yeah,
because as people who are interested in football and are involved in a football podcast, you've got to have some kind of knowledge of how the game works.
Yeah.
And different tactical styles, but unless you've got coaching badges, you're not going to know the complete ins and outs of certain styles of play.
Mm.
But I think the game where you can pick a certain style of football and then helps you mould your formation, your player roles, your team structures around that.
It's got like pre-built in ways of playing, you can fit your team to it.
So, someone who's interested in, say, they want to replicate Klopp and a gegenpress, but they don't necessarily fully understand the ins and outs of it. We know it's all about high intensity pressing, but there's other elements of that style of play which to someone who doesn't have coaching badges and stuff like that won't understand, but the game kind of helps you with that. Okay. So it's easier to have an identity. I'm not sure what Ryan and Tom have adopted. I go for a fluid counter attack.
I go with a gegenpress at the moment, just because it's the team, and Kevin Volland is a pressing forward, so you pressing forwards are pretty sort of useless in other formations, because the whole point is to actually get on the back line. But that's the idea. So you choose what gegenpress, direct counter attack, fluid counter attack, defensive, and then within each tactic, you can break it down to when you're in possession, out of possession, or in transition.
Right. Okay.
So if you've got a goalie that's really crap at kicking the ball.
Yeah.
You can actually say, in transition of him having the ball, he can either choose to roll it out, short kick it, or long kick it. So in that scenario, I'd say, well, roll it out to my defenders then.
I think that's something that I found frustrating in the last game. It's like, if I could see my side sitting back out of possession, there wasn't too much I could really do about it. But now I can alter what kind of line we play where. And my favourite bit is the line of engagement. So do you get, let them have the ball in their own half, knock it around, that's fine. Let them come on to you. And then as soon as they get to the halfway line, that's when your forwards and wingers start to press.
Wow, I'm liking the sounds of these additions. Tom, you're playing a game in League One. What kind of style are you going for?
Well, I won League One in the first season and fought for fairly easily.
Yeah.
But I seem to do that. The first season always seems to be easy on these games.
Yeah.
It's the second season, whether it was League One or the Championship, it's the second season always seems to struggle. I did all right. I mean, I finished mid-table in the Championship. I do use the Gegenpress with Portsmouth, which is probably a bit over the top, but the Portsmouth players are actually fairly good. I mean, in League One, they were too good.
Yeah.
And I managed to hold on to the majority of the team.
Right.
With some loan signings as well. And obviously, when you come against the bigger teams in the Championship, I do change it to a direct counter-attack sometimes. Yeah. Or maybe even wing play as well. Got a couple of decent wingers.
Okay.
But you have to keep tweaking. You can't just like... Whereas in the old games, if you found one style and you just stuck with it the whole time,
yeah,
I find you can go on a run of two or three wins, but then it just seems to wear off.
Hmm.
So people have to just tweak little things, not complete style, but just the odd thing here and there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one of the challenges I want to come out of this podcast with is the guys on Ready Player 2, they do not play sports games, and they definitely don't play tactical management simulated sports games. I want to share my Steam library with them and get them playing FM 18 because that's all I've got at the minute. But could they play that from a complete noob status? Could they jump into it and not be successful, maybe, but could they understand what they were doing, do you think?
And it's difficult. I think you might need a little bit of prior football knowledge.
Hmm.
I've seen one of my students the other day was like, "Should I buy Foot Manager?" I was like, "Yes, definitely buy Foot Manager." And he brought it in yesterday. Right. Brought it in. He was like, "I don't know what I'm doing." And after I spent 10 minutes explaining to him what every little feature did,
yeah,
and he was like, "Oh yeah, actually, it does. You know, it all makes sense once you know what everything does."
Yeah.
But then again, he knows a little bit about football, so I'm not sure if you left it to a complete, you know,
outside
novice when it comes to knowing about football. Then
I don't think a non-football fan could play this game at all.
Could make sense of it. No? Yeah. Ryan, what do you think?
Well, I think FM18 would be a little bit different. I mean, we're talking about FM19, and that one of the big new features that they dabbled up was this tutorial system,
right?
Where so when you go to pick a tactical style, as an example, the game will guide you through how to do it, what to do, gives you a little bit of hints. There's a whole sort of big training thing in there now for new managers. If that makes sense. So
okay,
it's all so in theory, if you wanted to get someone that is new. I mean, I think I agree with the other guys. I think you do need to know a little bit about football to even get in there, because it's one of those games that if you're not interested in the subject matter, like with any game, are you really going to be able to stick at it and learn it?
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. If you've got no interest at a very base level, then yeah, you're not going to want to persist, are you?
Because a lot of people will look at it and go, it's just a bunch of spreadsheets, you know, as it always used to be. Because, you know, if you're looking at a player's stats, for example, even the basic understanding of what's good, what's bad, is such a difficult thing to get your head around that first time. You know, I even find myself sometimes looking at a stat and then finally clicking and going, oh, this is what this actually means in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. That's fair enough. Okay, maybe I won't task them with playing that game then. Tom, you're playing Championship Manager 0102. How is that? I mean, that differs incredibly from FM19 by the sounds of it, but is it? It's obviously a more simpler game to get into. Are you having any less fun or having more fun?
It's 18 years old and it's still the best football management game of all time.
That is depressing, isn't it?
But it's just, I think it's the simplicity of it, which I love.
Yeah.
Obviously, you get the more complex tactics and training and everything on the newer football managers, but the way you can just load it up, take control of a team and get a season done in about 2 hours.
Yes.
Like, if someone wants to get into a football management game, this is the one you give them.
Yeah, this is a free download as well, isn't it, I think?
I believe so, yeah. I've still got a disc online. Line. No, so.
Nice.
Yeah. I think I've got about three.
Wow, I got rid of all my hard copies of games. But yeah, this is a free download. And if you speak to our friend, Mr. Dave Black, who's at CM9798 on Twitter, he's also got a blog, which I believe is CM0102blog.com. blogs.wordpress.com, which is he's got some games of 0102 going as well, and if you need any help or advice, I'm sure he's the man to go to. There's his plug. It's done. But you're enjoying it though, Tom. Which one are you getting more fun out of, this one or 19?
Well, I go through phases. I do like, I haven't played 19 since before Christmas, because right. I've been playing more FIFA and started this PSV game in the new year. It's just, I think it's just got to be in the mood for it, where you can just go on it and just play. I'll probably get bored of this in a few weeks' time and go back to Football Manager again, but by then I'll be in about 2035 on this game probably.
Yeah, you'll be ahead in this game than actually where you are in the newer game.
Probably will be. I'm two seasons in already.
Yeah, I do like those retro games. I've got 97, 98 installed on my computer, and I do just jump in now and then and just play a few games. And like you say, you can get through it so fast that.
Yeah. And the joy of finding like 17, 18 year olds who have now retired in real life. It's just.
Yeah.
Makes you old.
Yeah, imagine how I feel. I'm 35 next week. That's incredibly depressing. That there's now players that are started then and are now retired. Alan Smith and people like that. But yeah, that is a fun one. Ryan, you're playing, along with FM19, you're playing a bit of Pro Evo.
Yeah, and it is the best. Well, I won't say the best. It is. It's actually really good. Like, you know, getting past the license thing, because you can get around it.
Now, you're playing on PlayStation, yeah?
Yes, you can get around it with downloads and everything. And the player models are great. Once you've installed the data stuff for the kits and everything, which takes about 15 to 20 minutes.
It's pretty easy then, is it?
Yeah, you just basically stick something on a USB, plug it in, say import this. It will go through all the codes and everything, go through all the files, and then apply everything to the right teams.
Right, okay.
So I'm playing as Chelsea, just in a career mode. And you know, it's relatively easy to mess around. Probably not as much as FIFA in terms of being able to sign people like Mbappe or Messi really quickly, like you can on sort of the FIFA career mode. But I mean, the gameplay is just what keeps me coming back. The PES Ultimate Team thing called My Club, now that is incredibly easy to get good players. I've packed Messi about 3 times. Two Weiss was an informed one. But it's the idea of, like, you get guaranteed Team of the Week players if you... You don't even have to spend that much money I've probably spent like £2 before just to top up my coins like a tiny bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, they seem very giving. So over the Christmas period, they were giving away legends, coins every day. You know, so everyone's team is pretty good, but it therefore makes it a relatively even keel.
Yeah.
I haven't really played much of the online stuff, but it's just a good, easy thing to jump into. But the big thing about it is the gameplay. Passing's brilliant.
Yes.
Shooting and creating chances is great. And it's, to me anyway, I haven't played FIFA 19 this year, but it's a lot more of a rewarding experience when I score a goal against a high difficulty.
Yeah.
Whereas on the old FIFAs, it was like I could abuse, say, finesse shots or something like that. I've not found anything in PES yet to abuse, if that makes sense.
There's no almost auto goal, is there, with the run down the wing, cut back and knock it in?
No, I mean, there might be somewhere, but I'm not good enough to find it. I'm just having fun trying to pass it around, trying, you know, get the odd through ball, and stamina is a big issue in this game. So, like, especially in career mode, if your players are even remotely tired, half your passes stop missing.
Wow.
Which is realistic, because then I'm like, okay, I need to start bringing people on and changing the game.
Yeah, not holding down the entire time.
Yeah, that. But it is really good. It's just, you know, whenever I'm jumping in, it's a very rewarding, sometimes frustrating experience when I'm playing. It's a really hard difficulty, but it is really good.
So I'm playing this on Xbox, and I don't have the option to just download a data file to change all the names. I spent about 15, 20 minutes changing just the Premier League and Championship names.
Oh,
to
really?
The real names. Yeah, you can't get this, stick it on a USB, plug it in, and do it for you. So
crazy.
Yeah, the gameplay keeps pulling me back, but I'm getting to the point where I'm a little bit of a license snob. Like,
it is difficult.
I don't want the commentators to be calling Leeds West Yorkshire Whites or whatever they're called. I want them to be. I want them to be Leeds, and I want to be playing against Barnsley, not Yorkshire Reds and this sort of nonsense. It feels even more jarring when you come up against one of the teams that are licensed.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's because they look so good as well. Their graphics are insane.
Yeah, the character models are perfect for all the licensed players. So it is frustrating in that one. I've also got to grow up with the online that the matchmaking system is broken.
It takes forever to find a match as well.
And then more often than not, even though you say it to find someone at a relatively level skill level to you, it doesn't. It finds someone that's probably way ahead of where you are, and you just get padded. So that's a bit of an issue. But like you said, I've not played FIFA 19 either. I jumped out on FIFA last year. I played a bit of last year's because it was part of the EA Access, so I got it for whatever my monthly fee is, $2.99, I think. But PES 19 is in Game Pass on Xbox, so if you pay the $7.99 a month to get access to those 100-odd games, you can play it.
You can also get it for free because they've got a My Club version, so their Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
You can actually get that for free, and again, they give you so much stuff for free anyway, so if you're looking to play it and you want to play with good players, that is an option, because that's what I did last year.
Okay. Greg, Tom, you're quite a bit younger than me. You're roughly the same age as Ryan. Did you play PES back in its heyday, or have you always been FIFA?
I think I'll always say PES 5 is the best football game that's ever been.
Yeah.
And you didn't care about the licenses. It was just the best gameplay. And Master League was fantastic.
PES 5 had Henry on the cover, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. Was it?
Was it Henry and Terry, wasn't it? Standing side by side. Or like looking at each other, and then the referee in the middle?
Yeah, it was Terry and Henry looking at each other, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was...
That was almost the perfect realisation of football game. I mean, incredibly old now, but 05 that came out.
At the time, it was miles ahead of FIFA.
Yeah.
Gameplay-wise.
Yeah, FIFA had got really repetitive at that point, and it was interesting because we were talking about like FM and stuff like that. They had. Do you only remember Total Club Manager?
Yes. Yeah.
Which I think they then turned into FIFA Manager or something. But whatever you noticed is whenever the goals went in, the replays were always the same. Like you could see the ball going to the top right, and then the replay would show the ball going into the middle of the net because they clearly only had a certain selection of replays available.
Ah, right.
And it made you realise how broken like FIFA was at the time, because that was when PES was in its heyday.
Yeah, the controllable replays that you could cut and save and show off to your mates. Like I had a memory card full of goals that I'd scored that are just ones that I've got to cut together myself, and that was great. That was the pinnacle for me. PES kind of fell off around when the 360 came out and the PS3. It didn't handle the leap to next gen very well, I don't think.
Oh no, it really crashed and burnt when it was. What was it? PES 2008.
Yeah,
I think so.
It
came out for Vita like 6 months after everything else, and I bought it on Vita just so I could dive and they'd patched out the game, because that was the only game at the time that offered you to, apart from. God, I can't remember what it was. There was another football game at the time.
Yeah.
Total Football or something, and you could dive on it, and that's the only thing that I ever did.
Oh, was it This Is Football?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, you held down left or right trigger at the same time, you would dive. I remember having Sean Derry sent off for a double book offence, both for diving.
You can do that in PES now, you can dive in PES, but it looks awful. You can't make a convincing dive. I've never been able to pull it off.
And you're playing as Chelsea, you say?
Yeah, I'm not playing as like Liverpool and Mo Salah, because that would be really easy.
Cheating the game.
We...
Have you guys got any interesting game or given FIFA PES a try, Greg, Tom?
No, I haven't. No? But I think it's easy just to go back to FIFA every time. And, you know, I'll always have PES 5. But I'll always take that with me. Yeah, I'll always have those memories. But out of just pure laziness, it's just easy to go back to your ultimate team and play a bit of FIFA if you've got a spare hour or so.
Yeah, that's fair. Tom, any interest from you? You like playing retro?
I don't think I've ever played PES.
Have you not?
I never had a games console until the Xbox 360. So all my old games used to be on PC. So I was playing like FIFA 2004 on the PC, and it's the one with Del Piero on the cover.
Yeah.
And the FIFA 97, the one where you could play indoors.
That was great.
Stuff like that. Yeah, they're great games.
Well, I think you need to experience these at some point. If you can get hold of a PS2 and PES 5, it should be pretty cheap these days. That would be an experience. I'd definitely enjoy doing that. I might have to look for an old PS2 now. I'm sure CEX have got one. So you boys are playing FIFA then. Ryan, you played FIFA 19? No?
Not this year. I mean, I was a big FIFA player last year. I usually used to play pro clubs. Like that used to be the main reason I had it.
Right.
But this year, I think I'd spent quite a bit of money on Ultimate Team last year, and I was like, you know what? I'm not excited for this, because I'd started playing PES at the back end of last year, and I was like, I'm just going to go for PES this year. I'm going to give it a go and not go into that. This is going to sound weird, toxic attitude of FIFA, just because that's all the experience I'd had with the Ultimate Team. But
online is a wasteland on FIFA, isn't it? The people that hang out in the online games, the messages you can get sent after you beat someone, very angry people.
They're very angry people.
Very angry people. Greg, you and Tommy, you're playing this definitely more than me and Ryan. How are you getting on with it? Are you still really into it?
I'm on and off of it.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm on.
What are you doing?
Really, I only really play online. I only play on the teams. I don't spend money on it anymore. But then again, I don't think you have to anymore.
No.
I think if you, where they brought in things like squad building challenges and things like that, it's a different way of getting packs.
Right, okay, because this is a huge thing for people that don't play the games. They see you can, there's microtransactions, and think, oh, well, it's game breaking. Like, people can just buy the best players, put the best teams together, which you can, but you've got to spend an awful lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
Which people do.
Yeah. But you can put like £5 into it and get probably a decent player, but it's not as game breaking as you think, is it?
No, I don't see the point of you'd have to get, you know, you can put a fiver in and you can pack nothing, and it's like, oh, well, there you are. It's the quickest way of living a fiver. But you can, you know, to guarantee something, you've got to put a load of money in, and you don't necessarily have to do that.
No.
To get, I mean, if you save your coins up, and I think the rewards for some of the new version games you can play on Armour Team are actually quite generous with the amount of coins you can get. I mean, I'm about to finish on the second rank on Division Rivals this week, and I'll get 40,000 coins for it, and that's a decent amount.
That's a lot.
Yeah, if you do that 5 weeks in a row, suddenly you've got 200,000 coins, and that's a very good player that you can...
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the difficult thing with FIFA is the market is so bonkers because of those people that are spending, you know, hundreds of quid every couple of days on packs, because, you know, EA give them the ability to do so. Mm. You know, you can buy, what is it, £72 worth, so it's 12,000 FIFA points. That's their top level is £72 in the store. But then as a result, you've got all these, you know, they're really good because they do a lot of promos for different types of player, and the variation this year looks really good. I mean, I follow a couple of FIFA YouTubers, and they've got like Team of the Year,
right?
But you know, a Messi Team of the Year costs, like, from what I remember, like 5 million coins.
Jesus Christ!
Which makes sense because he's the best player in the game.
Yeah, but is he that much better than some of the lesser players that, if you're good enough at the game, you can still win with?
Yes.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I played against someone online earlier that had Maradona playing,
oh my God.
The icon card playing, just behind the striker.
Right.
And you literally couldn't tackle him. Like, yeah,
it's the same with Rivaldo.
Three players around him, and he just walked straight through, like, doing these stupid little skill moves that you just couldn't get near him.
Infuriating.
One thing I found this year is, well, there's a couple of things. There's the Premier League teams, or players seem to be slightly freakishly good.
Yeah, some of the Premier League players.
Yeah, so like Davinson Sanchez, Eric Bailly, Moussa Dembele.
They're always really good, aren't they? They're, you know, the average players.
Yeah, and everyone has any reason. I bounced before, just for Christmas, I just didn't play it for about 6 weeks just because I was getting bored of playing. Everyone had the same team.
Yeah.
Since it's come back after Christmas, it seems a bit different.
And you've got a lot of people that got it for Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, but everyone just had the same Premier League side. It was just getting a bit boring.
Yeah,
I think it's a lot of better now. There's so many different special cards, where the informs, the future stars, the icons, all the stuff like that. It's better now that people do have a wider variation of teams. I mean, the team I'm using is a Brazilian team.
Right.
Well, mainly Brazilian, but I find the problem of playing against the same team all the time. I play against so many different players, and it's good. I like playing against different players because it's a test as well.
Mm.
I think that was probably more the case when the game came out, but without all the promo cards, it is difficult. And I mean, when I was playing FIFA 18, to digress slightly, it was my friend had Bailly and Sanchez. He had so much money to spend on the game because he got all these good players.
Yeah,
but he was only playing these two players because they were really overpowered last year, because the game was all about strength and height.
Right.
So those fit the bit. And then he had Aaron Moy in midfield, like the in-form version.
Yeah,
and he just couldn't stop scoring against me. And I'm like, it's Aaron Moy. He's awful. But because he played well in the game, he got an inform, which meant he had 90 long shots.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, it's Aaron Moy.
Yeah. Plays for Huddersfield, for fuck's sake.
I do love the squad building challenges, though. I'm a bit of a geek when it comes in. I pretty much do all of the ones on there, all the different leagues, all the different squads.
So what do they do them? Write it down for people that are listening, that are not playing?
But for most of the leagues, like the big leagues on the game, they have a squad building challenge for every squad in that league. So, take Premier League, for example. You've got to trade in a squad for each team. So an Arsenal squad, a Burnley squad, a Brighton squad, all of the different squads, 11 players. You've got to get them with 95 chemistry and a certain rating. It's normally about between like 75 and 80.
Yeah.
So it also means that when you pack random Brighton defenders, they actually sell, as opposed to previous years when you just had to quick sell all your non-rare golds and your silver players because no one wanted them. They're actually useful to people. Plus, you get a reward for each squad you trade in. Right. For the bigger clubs, you get a bigger reward. And then after you've traded off all 20 squads, you get a special player from that league. And the Premier League ones were fairly average. It was Jamie Vardy and Abdoulaye Doucouré.
Right.
But the La Liga one that came on this week is a 90 rated Casemiro.
Oh my god.
Striker Iago Aspas, which is 89. And I've already got both of them.
No, so that keeps you coming back, I suppose. And if it changes every week, it gives you a reason to come back to it.
And there's always, every week they have a marquee matchups thing, which is four games that go on during the week. You've got to trade in a squad like related to the game,
right.
And there's always like different squadron challenges to get a certain player or certain packs, and there's new content every week.
Okay, have you ventured into the story mode on this?
Done a little bit,
yeah,
and it is good. I found they've really upped the narrative, the amount of narrative this year.
So I played on 17, I think it was the first instalment of it, where Alex Hunter signs his first deal and then gets sent on loan to Newcastle, I think. I don't know if it's the same every time, but that's what
you get to choose the club, I think, don't you?
All right, okay. So I've missed the second and third parts, but he now plays for, was he playing for Real Madrid now, I think I saw?
You kind of can make some choices, can't you?
Oh, right, okay.
And now there's more than one character.
Real Madrid there, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think he's billed as like a Ronaldo.
Right.
Brilliant.
that's unfortunate in current world, isn't it?
Yeah. But now there's also, you can play as his best mate. And his half sister.
Okay. Oh yeah, because women's football's in there. Have you ventured into that at all?
Not really. I mean, no. You play it when you as a part of the journey.
Oh right. Okay.
So you actually play. His half sister plays for the US national team.
Right.
So it gets you involved that way.
Yeah.
But no, where I only really play on the team, it's not something that I'm really exposed to.
No, I think Ultimate Team seems to be, it is the mode, isn't it? Apart from online kind of rankings, Ultimate Team seems to be where most of the players are.
Online is a lot better than last year as well, with right. the division rivals, which is much better than what it was last year, and the rewards seem to be a lot better as well.
Does it still have like the ranked leagues that you work your way up through?
It still
does have seasons, like how I used seasons. To remember playing it.
Yeah.
You know, back in FIFA 13 and 14 and things like that.
Yeah.
So you can still do that, but I don't think it's as popular as it was back then, because everyone back then, it was, you wanted to be ranked, you wanted to get into the top one, didn't you?
Yeah.
But no, I don't think it's as popular anymore. Okay. One thing, a good thing about this year's FIFA, and it does have a lot of negatives, but the new house rules games. So if you're just having, you've got a couple of mates around, you're having a few games of FIFA, it's not just, you don't have to just play a normal 90-minute regulation game of football.
Right.
There's now different twists you can put on it.
The survival mode.
Me and Tom play it quite a lot. So there's survival mode where every time you score a goal, you lose a random player until it goes down to 7 players each. And the other day, I found out if you had a man sent off when you have 7 men, he does get sent off.
Oh, really?
You're down to 6 players, and that's mental. There's a heads and volleys version where you can only score from heads and volleys. There's a long shots version where long shots count double. There's a no rules version.
Right.
Which is just people slide tackling. Yeah. That was a bit of a selling point for me this year, because I thought it just, it did change up, like when you have your mates around, you have a couple of games of FIFA.
Yeah,
that made it a bit different.
It encourages couch gaming, which I think it is a big thing within the whole gaming world now, is to get people back to playing with their friends, but not online. Like go around mates' houses and actually play, like we all used to do when we were kids. Excellent. Any other games we want to talk about, boys? Any other sports games we've played recently?
I'm trying to think. Bit of international cricket captain every now and then, which is a bit like Football Manager but for cricket.
I've got
Do you know what it is like? It's like Championship Manager 102 because you can just breeze for a game very quickly.
Yeah.
Is it old or is it new? Because I remember seeing it a few years ago, but is this?
Oh, they're still making them.
The old ones are best.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool.
So about 2006, it really hit, really peaked, didn't it?
Yeah. That's around the 2005. There was a special for 2005 Ashes edition, and that was the best one.
Yeah, I got the last year's one on my iPad, and it's really just a good fun like lunch break game where you can play like a couple of seasons almost. You can get through it pretty quick.
The graphics haven't improved since 1998.
I think they're worse.
The commentary is exactly the same, I think, from the very first one as well.
You still get the polite ripple of applause when the batsman raises bat for 100.
Yeah, nothing much has changed that way. But yeah, it is just an updated spreadsheet game every year, but it's good fun, Ryan. I think you'd appreciate it. And the other ones are cheaper.
Probably would. I mean, I'm trying to think what else. I played Out of the Park Baseball 17 like a while ago.
Wow.
Which it is pretty much Football Manager, but baseball. And
it was made by SI back in the
day? No, that was they did a hockey game or something. It's made by a separate company, but you can tell it's a rip-off of it almost.
Right.
And it's okay. But it's that thing of you've got to understand baseball.
Well, it's
because I'm sort of standing, like sitting there trying to play it. Like I don't understand what any of this is. And it goes back to that point we were talking about earlier, where you just sort of sit there and you see things happen, and you're just like, I don't get it.
I'm sure.
Don't understand how this works.
It's another game. It's all about stats, baseball, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, massive.
All about stats now, isn't it? So I suppose it's baseball's actually quite a good game to translate into the kind of management.
Yeah, spreadsheet sim game. Yeah, it must work pretty well. Personally, I just can't cure my NBA 2K19 addiction, which stretches back to NBA 2K13 at this point. It's the game I play almost daily, doing career mode, doing like the My Team, which is Ultimate Team, doing my league, do just everything that's in it. I play all of it. It's just, I never get bored of it.
I do like NBA games. NBA games are really addictive whenever I've played it because you can do games, well, not to say relatively quickly, but it is that, because at least with like football games or whatever, or, I mean, obviously Foot Manager's a lot sitting around. FIFA and PES is like, you know, sometimes there'll be parts of the game where, you know, they'll be passing it around for a while and there's not much action. Whereas basketball games are, it's thick and fast.
Yeah, it's constant action.
How long is a basketball, I want to show my naivety here, how long is a basketball game in reality?
Well,
it's four quarters of what?
Four quarters of 12 minutes, but multiple timeouts within each quarter. So
how long does a game take on?
I'm playing Xbox. I play in my career mode. I play full sim, so I play 12 minutes.
Do you?
Yeah, a game takes me roughly an hour to do one game game, and then obviously a basketball season's 82 games long. That's before you get to the best of seven playoff series as well. So
you completed a season yet?
Not after 1 year.
On NBA 2K13, I'm still on the first season.
Yeah, I've done one season. Obviously, you can put it down to like 5 minutes a quarter, but your stats don't kind of relate to realistic stats within the world because it doesn't take into account that you're doing that, but the rest of the players on the other teams, when they play full minutes per game, so their stats look much more impressive than yours.
Oh, that's weird. You'd think it'd try and...
It should level it out, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't quite do that, which is annoying, and I like to be top of the stats board, obviously, because it's a career mode, so why wouldn't you want to be the best player you can be with your player? But yeah, it's super addictive, and 2K do the best, I think, in all sports games, the best presentation of a sports game, from commentary to all that sort of stuff. The commentary is updated weekly with things that are happening in the real world, and they get like guest commentators on to do spots that they record every couple of weeks and bring them onto the game. It's so in depth.
It seems to be the game that has the most attention put into it, if that makes sense. The commentary is insane, and then, you know, if there is like a break in play, you know, you'll hear, oh well, we're just going to talk to a player quickly about their experience, and it's very bizarre.
Yeah, it's really super in depth, and one thing that does baffle me, Madden games are the same with other NFL games. They share licenses. I don't understand why FIFA and PES cannot share licenses. Why can't they both have all the licenses? Why do FIFA have to hog all of them? Because EA have the rights to the NBA licenses, but so do 2K. They both make basketball games, which both sell really well.
Is Madden still going?
Madden is still going, yeah. This is the first year I've not bought it.
I think I had either like 13 or 14 or something. I played that a bit and it was really good.
Yeah, but Madden games used to be quite good.
I was terrible at it, but it was fun.
I have a very basic knowledge of NFL and what happens and what to do, but I had one 360 as well, and it made it quite easy to understand.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. They're very pick up and playable. They're not kind of super sim, but they make it much like FIFA, where it's basically the same. Like the layout just reskinned for American football, so the Ultimate Team's still there, and there's your career mode, your story mode, and all that sort of stuff. So it's kind of the same game, but just a different sport, if that makes sense. Not really, but kind of. I think that's it, chaps. I think that's the first one done. We've talked about a lot of different sports games there. We will obviously get different guests on next month. We're going to do this monthly. I'm going to try and release it on the first of every month. It's going to be released through the Man on the Post feed and the Ready Player 2 feed. So don't unsubscribe if you don't like this one episode. We'll continue with our regular stuff outside of this. But these will be once a month bonus episodes just to kind of expand both brands of podcast. So thank you very much, chaps. Where can people find you on Twitter? Let's start with you, Ryan.
They can find me on Twitter at the Ryan Goodman.
If they want to tell you why you should be playing FIFA, that's where they can find you. Yeah. Greg, what's your Twitter?
Right, Greg Kitchen.
And Tom?
Alano 11.
There you go. I am at RossBell1984. You can find us all under at Man on the Post, or me and some other chaps from Ready Player 2 at Ready Player 2 or Ready P2 on Twitter, I think, one of those or other. I don't normally do the outro for that podcast. So I don't know. but follow all of us there. Subscribe to all the podcasts on iTunes. Leave us rates and reviews. We're all on iTunes. We're all on Spotify. We're all on all the other places that have podcasts, Acast mainly. That's the best place to get us both, because that's where we're hosted, and that's where they will eventually pay out some money. Eventually, he says.
Eventually, when you're 100.
In theory, yeah. I'm too old to do podcasts anymore. But that's it. First episode in the books. Thank you, chaps. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Cheers. Good night.
And until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And always keep your man on the post.
And always remember to ready
player two.